My name is Jalpa Bhavsar, and I am a cybersecurity leader, speaker, mentor, and a problem solver at a core. And here I am, this is my humble attempt to try and solve a complex problem in cybersecurity today of cyber skill shortage. And my guest here on this first episode is Chirag Joshi. Chirag is an accomplished cybersecurity leader, author of two books. He's highly sought after speaker, and he's an advocate at industry leading events and conferences. Welcome, Chirag.
Thank you, Jalpa. What a pleasure to be here with you today, and congratulations on your new series.
Thank you. So without further ado, let me tell you something about this problem at hand. According to World Economic Forum, there are 3.4 million unfilled jobs in cybersecurity in 2022, which has doubled from 2019. So there are so many jobs unfilled in cyber, but yet again, there is a problem of cyber skill shortage. How do we solve this problem? Let me find out from people who have successfully transitioned from another career or different part of life to cybersecurity. And Chirag is one of them as well. So tell me about you, Chirag. What did you study, and what did you want to have as a career when you were a student?
Yeah, it's a good question. So what I studied, I'm an engineer. So I did my engineering in electronics and telecommunications. And after that, I got my master's in telecommunications management. So my master's was a combination of technology and business school. So that helped me look at the world from, you know, two different perspectives. I gotta say, when I was studying, obviously there were some subjects and areas around, you know, aspects of what we call cybersecurity today, but it wasn't called cybersecurity back then. So at that stage, it was more about, you know, thinking about IT careers and technology careers. And most of even my peers at that time looked at it that way. So I, at that stage, did not envision that I would be working in cybersecurity, because I was studying engineering and telecommunications and then management. So I think after I started to look at my master's degree, I think that's where, you know, assurance, cybersecurity, aspects of cybersecurity became relevant. But again, now I can look back and think there were aspects of cybersecurity, but at that stage, they seemed to me a lot more aligned to, you know, technology and technology related disciplines.
Makes sense. Yeah. So when did you start thinking about having a career in cybersecurity, and how was it like to get the first role?
Well, look, so I started my career in technology in what was a role called systems analyst, and that essentially involved me running infrastructure, servers, networks, you know, things that you would associate with systems engineers, system administrators back in the day. So while security and aspects of security were always part of the job of running infrastructure and running machines, it's only when I started to work on PCI DSS, so I got an opportunity while I was systems analyst to be part of a PCI DSS program and building that up. And this was in the early days of PCI DSS. For your audience who is not aware, stands for Payment Card Industry Data Security Standards, which is now a very well established standard. But back in the day, it was just starting out, and there were a lot of ambiguities around what really needs to go into it beyond technical controls. So having had the opportunity to work on those, and then work on the policy side, work on all the different aspects to PCI DSS beyond just technology and technical controls, I think that gave me a real flavor of what information security, IT security was as a discipline, more than just technology. And then I was lucky enough to get my cybersecurity focused role, because I really enjoyed that part of my work and I wanted to go deeper into that. Yeah. And then I got my first role, which was cybersecurity focused. At that time, it was information security. Cyber is a new word still. So it was an information security focused role. And I think sometimes you need to get the right opportunity. And I was fortunate to get the right opportunity with the right mentors who were patient with me, who guided me and allowed me to grow into the role and look at cybersecurity holistically beyond just technology. And now when I look at my career and think about it, I think that's been a big takeaway for me. It's about business, it's about people, it's about processes that help business and people, and technology is just one component of it.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. And I think the key here I'm hearing is that identifying what skills you had when you were a system analyst. You picked up PCIDSS and that picked your interest, and then your knowledge of technical skills translated into information security along the way.
Yeah, I think so. And I also think you mentioned earlier about transferable skills and skills. So one of the skills which skills usually come from interest areas, and interest areas that you have an opportunity to professionally work into and you get honed in those, I think those are the ones where skills really come to bear beyond just skills you have to learn for a job. I think true skills you can master when you have an interest. And for me, I was always interested in people. And I like to look at the world in terms of the problems that we are trying to solve and in terms of the impact that we can have. And which is why when I reflect on the master's degree that I did, it was a combination. It wasn't just pure for technology. So I think this naturally aligned with it. And that's what I think you mentioned earlier about skills and about transition. And I think to me, the ability to think of solving problems, having that curious mindset, is such a key part of cybersecurity today. But you don't need to study technology to have a curious mind. You don't need to study network protocols or encryption methodologies to actually solve problems. Yeah, you should know enough about them to be able to articulate them and understand them, but it's so much more than that. Like, as a discipline, cybersecurity has evolved to so much bigger because it is fundamentally changing people's behaviors.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah, it's about people. And so we are diving into the transferable skills here. Yeah. And I have an example from a mentee last year that he was a chef for 7-8 years. He had a career being a chef and he transitioned into cybersecurity. He learned Cert 4 in cybersecurity and now he's working in cybersecurity. Nice. But the important bit is identifying some of the human soft skills and also translating that into work experience and being talk about it, because I have listened to some people who are hesitant to talk about the transferable skills, because having cybersecurity skills is essential for getting into cybersecurity, but talking about transferable skills is like a passport to your cybersecurity career, where you can talk about. For the guy I'm talking about who was chef, he had, being in a kitchen, wearing so many different hats, turning dishes on time, managing customer expectations, managing staff who might be all casual staff and not turning up at given point in time, also managing grocery and the bills and everything. So that's immense pressure. Mm-hmm. And then when you transfer that into a cyber incident scenario where it is again a very pressured situation, and staying calm in that kind of pressured situation and getting people together to solve a cybersecurity problem, that's again very transferable kind of scenario. It takes the human skills and the right attitude, because as you mentioned, the cybersecurity skills can be taught along the way, like some expertise, but it's the right attitude that is key to success, isn't it?
No, it is. And I think, and even cybersecurity is not a monolith, right? There are so many aspects to cybersecurity. So there's obviously the governance risk compliance aspect of cybersecurity, which is largely about, having good arrangements when it comes to risk management, when it comes to fit for purpose policies, working with your business to define good appetites, working with your key influencing stakeholders. And I think those are a big part of governance risk compliance, along with compliance requirements and translating them. Then you have your security operations, or the classic security operations, which is a lot more focused on tooling, running tools, monitoring them, detecting, responding. I think there is an aspect of cybersecurity which is very technical. And then there is the aspect of cybersecurity which is culture, engagement, awareness, which is all about humans. It is all about humans on a daily basis. And I don't just mean end user awareness training. I mean influencing people at every level. So as an example, a project manager knows when to engage cybersecurity at the right time so as to get the most value out of it and not make it expensive, which it can become if it's retrospective. And obviously it delays things. Somebody making a conscious call on taking a risk which is informed by good inputs as opposed to just jumping ahead recklessly. I think those are the things which come with time. And to make those changes, you need to figure out how people think. And the example you give of a chef, stakeholder management, of being resilient under pressure, all of those things are so important in our world. And which is where I think when I encourage when people reach out to me as to what do they think about a career in cybersecurity, I ask them to think about the different disciplines and think where they see the value. Not everybody wants to become a detection and response, incident response person. Not everybody wants to become an awareness person. I think there is skills that go in different directions, and transferable skills come from all aspects. So you could be into financial services, an accountant, for example, and you studied accountancy, you know risk management, because a big part of your world is risk management, compliance, audits, you get that. Well, that's easily transferable. So you need to learn cyber skills, but you have a bulk of the knowledge anyway on how to approach engagements, how to scope them, how to report, how to work with stakeholders, how to sample. I think all of those things are easily transferable. So sometimes skills shortage, I believe, is not essentially a skills shortage. It's a shortage of creativity. It's a shortage of us thinking about real problems and not confining people to job descriptions that are so out of date that they don't really add up to reality, where we expect somebody to look at this, five-page job description, which has all the buzzwords thrown in there. That'll scare people. And this conversation, really, one thing that I want to share with that is, hiring managers, people who want to attract people into cybersecurity, give them that space, make it a welcoming environment, nurture them, grow them, because they are entering a new world and they can really help you. But you also need to change the way of your thinking to make the most out of it.
There's a topic in your book, Chirag, this is not exactly on the topic of transferable skills, but it still touches the human skills and mm-hmm. people skills, soft skills. So this topic in your book that talks about differentiating skills, how do you relate that to skills in cybersecurity and relating that to the people's career?
Yeah, look, I think so differentiating skills, I always say if there are two people who are equally technically competent, the people who have those differentiating skills are going to make the difference in their careers and move faster and move ahead. And those skills don't necessarily need people to be, studying technology or studying cybersecurity. I think this is where the transferable skill elements comes in, is you might already have these skills which you can help your cybersecurity teams with, and that is your value add. So I think there are areas where you think about art of writing. And I say that because it's packaging options for leadership. Far too often, the reports that are created by cybersecurity teams are so technical and have everything under the sun and these volumes of text, but not enough takeaways. What's the action? What are you going to get out of it? What are the options in human speak? I think translating that is really important, and somebody who can package options correctly and give that is really powerful. The other differentiating skills to me are, people who are emotional intelligence is a big part of it.
Yeah.
Because a lot of it relies on changing, on trying to get people to change their behaviors, right? If you're going to show up in a room and insist that people fix those vulnerabilities today without understanding the product context and the business, well, that's, you're not going to get much buy-in. You're going to lead to friction. You need to be able to put your view across, but also understand and empathize with other person in the room. I think that's emotional intelligence, because I think that'll really help. And some professions do a really, that's really the job. A lot of the job is empathy, emotional intelligence, and that is so transferable to what we can do in cybersecurity. The other one I think which is really relevant is, I think the psychology aspect of things. While I don't call it necessarily differentiating skill, because not all of us are psychologists, but the ability to understand how people think and be interested in that, or read up on reports on influencing behavior, I think that's so powerful. And we've learned from behavioral psychology, from neuroscience and other disciplines, that scaring people is not the right way.
Yeah.
And I think that's another area where people can think about it. One more example I'll give is thinking about, we mentioned networking.
Yeah.
Networking doesn't always have to be about going out and selling services, or going out to get business, or going out to get a job. Networking is about learning and growing. It's about me sitting with an open mind, trying to learn from your life experience without judgments. And I think through that journey, through listening more, asking more, as opposed to talking, think you can get that. So there's another part of differentiating skills that good people can do. And I'll end this on this one. We mentioned, you brought up an analogy. I mentioned how powerful the analogy is. Storytelling and communications is a big part of it. Is being able to tell a story end to end of cybersecurity. Far too often what happens in cybersecurity is business stakeholders are lost in the technical details. They don't understand when you have people just throwing acronyms at them, MDR, EDR, that's not really resonating with them. But when you can communicate them with them, connect back to the business that they are in, this is a skill that is really valuable. Is somebody who comes from that background where they understand business processes, understands what products and services are, somebody who perhaps works in those departments today, where they work in the department which is, you know, selling products or services or servicing them, it's really powerful because you bring that insight to cybersecurity and tell them, well, you're bringing up this risk or this vulnerability or this area of weakness, but this is so meaningful to our company and this is how it's currently run. I think putting those together go a long way. So I would suggest these are the different areas people should think about. Think about communication, think about storytelling as part of it, presenting, and have some energy about you, have some humor about you, because it's a difficult, stressful industry sometimes. At the same time, it can be really rewarding. And having some humor and energy to go with it makes a little big difference.
That is so right. I can't agree more, Chirag. And when you mentioned storytelling, you kind of took away the thunder from me, but I was thinking about it when you were mentioning the differentiating skills, and I always advise my mentees as well that we should talk about these things, like the skills that we have apart from the cyber skills in an interview, in a discussion. So 100%. That's what brings everything together, like the whole personality that you have and not just the cyber skills, because we take our whole self to work, not just the cyber skills. And a lot of it is the soft skills and human skills that help us succeed in our roles as well.
Completely. So, you know, again, it goes back to the transferable skills, our own life journeys, our own stories. Because I think what makes us is what will help our organizations too. So it's not just tools, it's about people.
That's amazing. I love it. I may ask, because being a friend, you have a family member who has transitioned from a different career to cybersecurity as well. Would you like to share about that and how some of the transferable skills are helpful, and what advice would you give to someone else out there who's studying cybersecurity or has skills in cybersecurity but not sure about having a successful career in cybersecurity? How do they go about it?
Yeah, look, I mean, on a personal level, my wife transitioned into cybersecurity from an accounting and financial background. And I think the things which I just mentioned completely relate to that, right? Is you have that, like, the wealth of knowledge from a discipline that is so transferable. But that being said, I do feel, and that's the advice, you know, I gave her, and the advice I give to anyone is, you need to put yourself in a position that you demonstrate a level of competence in a new field you are trying to enter. You need to learn and commit to learning about technology and cybersecurity. So, you know, I'm not saying go out and get all the certifications in the world, that's not the answer, but some form of learning that you can demonstrate that you're disciplined to go through, you understand the fundamentals that it takes, you are not just talking about cybersecurity, but you are able to contribute. I think that learning is really important. And then you overlay that on top of your transferable skills, and that makes a good combination. The other thing, which is not always necessarily true, but happens very frequently, is if you want to get into cyber from a different discipline, sometimes you may have to take a step back. And as long as you know that you're doing it for the right reasons, and you know that in the future you might move faster, that's okay. But for some people, that's not an option, and I respect that. But because if you're moving into a field, if it's a lateral move, it's still not going to move as fast. In the first couple of years, you may have to, you know, get used to all the acronyms that get thrown around and deal with those frustrations. But if you commit to learning, if you commit to talking to people, and the advice I give is seek mentors. Like, I know, Jalpa, you do a really good job of, you know, mentoring people as well as seeking mentors, because we all need to learn at every point in our life. There is so much we learn from conversations, being part of industry associations. Because if you're new to cybersecurity, if you moved over, be part of industry associations. There are a lot of good associations out there. There is ASA in Australia, there is ISACA, there are so many out there which you can be part of and grow as a community. Because you will come at points where people might deal with imposter syndromes, where they might think that, oh, am I really good enough to do this? And at that time, you need the right people surrounding you who encourage you, who say that that's absolutely normal to feel that. Everybody has felt that at some point. And when you deliver, when you show value, it's good. So that's what I would say. That's the advice, you know, which I live by myself, and that's the advice I give people.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for that valuable advice. I'm sure people out there who are listening to this podcast or watching on YouTube are going to relate to it and take inspiration from your work and what you said today. So what I'm hearing is the importance is not only have transferable skills, but identify them and also work on the core competencies of cybersecurity. So having that good combination of both will then become like a visa to cybersecurity career. So
yeah,
just having transferable skills is like a passport. Like if you have a passport, you can go abroad, but you can't travel to a country which you don't have visa for, right? So it's like having transferable skills is a passport, but then coupling that with a visa, which is cybersecurity skills and the knowledge and actionable knowledge, that gives you the visa to the cybersecurity career.
Completely agree. And I think, and actually I had this really good conversation, and I encourage your listeners to check out. So on my show, Art of Cybersecurity, there was one episode we dedicated to Art of Career Growth. And I had this really knowledgeable lady, wealth of experience, and she shared different stories that she's seen. And what you mentioned, Jalpa, is really the heart of it, right? Is having that, combining that knowledge of soft skills, of technical skills, but then also networking, of being purposeful about your career, of taking the initiative. So I think that's lost sometimes. I think you need to take that initiative. You are trying to learn something new. There is so much. I think there's one good thing about cyber community. I know in Australia and globally too, it's very supportive. I think people try not to compete with each other. And I think that's a good thing. It tries to bring it together. So I would definitely, and I really love analogies, because analogies are great storytelling techniques, and they stick with you. It's the analogy of a passport and a visa. I really like that.
Thank you. And I appreciate your time today, Chirag. It's been amazing talking to you. And I thank you for taking out time from your busy life and, you know, talking to people and helping people build their career. So yeah, thank you. And we'll share your link. You like to be connected on LinkedIn. Should we share your LinkedIn?
Absolutely. Please connect with me on LinkedIn. I like to collaborate and communicate and, you know, share with so many people. And it's always a pleasure. And LinkedIn, I think, allows us a great way to, you know, to connect and keep up with each other's careers. So absolutely, please connect with me.
Thank you. And a call for action for all the people listening and watching is that, tell me, how did you find this first episode? And also, if you like to like me to cover some particular questions or topics, and if you like to star on this podcast as well, let me know. Thank you.
Thank you very much.